Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. In this episode, we explore when you should buy used equipment and when it's buyer beware. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McKinney. Some of our listeners may or may not know that I'm a bit handy.
Oh, yeah.
I like to do things.
And tinker, one would say, maybe.
I have lots of tools. And it's the tools are for different purposes. And we all have tools, right?
Oh, yeah.
We have yard tools. We have hand tools and stuff. I mean, in the lab where we're recording behind me, I got, you know, stacks of Milwaukee stuff. I got a craftsman's box full of hand tools. And it got me thinking, you know, it's like when you buy tools, sometimes you inherit them.
Well, yeah.
You know, a good portion of the ones that are in my toolbox right now, I've inherited. And others have been borrowed and they disappear. And others have been borrowed and nobody came back to pick them up. So eventually you just acquire tools.
Well, I think you accumulate odd tools. I've always said that there are some tools that just one person in your circle of friends needs to own, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, like I've got a 12-inch tamper. Like, You need it for like one project, and then you're the guy that has the tamper.
Right? Oh, yeah. Well, I have a pickaxe over there. And when I built my house, what we did was, you know, the foundation guys, they came in and actually put down some gravel.
Right.
Where all of the pads were going to be. Well, I needed to run some lines so that I could have the sprinklers go under the sidewalk, basically.
Oh, I see where this is going.
So we get the pickaxe, and I borrowed it from my father. And basically dig up the compacted gravel, you know, the gravel mix and everything, so that I could put a 3-inch pipe down there so that I can run the tubes through there when it came time to run sprinklers. Yep.
Old school trenching.
Yeah. And then, you know, filled it back in. Well, that was when I built my house, and that's been a while ago.
And he hasn't needed it since.
He has not needed it since. And because of that, I've used that pickaxe to go and like, I have decorative grasses, so I use the pickaxe to go and break them apart to make them smaller so that they, you know, actually grow the way they're supposed to grow and stuff like that. So it's like I've repurposed it just because I have it. And it's those are the kind of tools that you just have acquired. And, you know, you're that one guy that has it and you may be the only person that ever uses it. But as we were looking for topics for the extra this month, you had sent me a link to Slash Gear. For the 3 PC parts you should always buy used and 7 you shouldn't.
Yeah, yep. It's a great title.
Now, as I was looking for this article, I found another one that I thought maybe we could start with.
Okay.
And it's the 10 Milwaukee products you don't realize you shouldn't buy used.
Now, a little bit of a background. One of my favorite memes that goes around is that every guy, when you grow up, has to choose a house like Harry Potter or Game of Thrones, right? Mm-hmm. And so you choose your tool house. And then for better or worse, you're locked into it. Whether it be DeWalt or Milwaukee or Makita or Ryobi. And there are a few that are kind of up-and-comers now that some folks get into Cobalt or something. But
Well, and once, like even with hand tools, you got like the Craftsman ones, or you have Snap-on ones, or stuff like that.
So once you've kind of invested into your infrastructure, I guess, you're kind of stuck because you need to accumulate more tools of that same brand because you have chargers, batteries, color matching. In this case, you're the Milwaukee guy.
I am the Milwaukee guy. And funny side story there, right? I was working on a greenhouse project at my mother's place and I needed some gloves. Several years ago, I bought some mechanic gloves from like the Home Depot store or something like that.
Right.
And I use those around the house to go and, you know, pull up weeds and crap like that. Well, they were leather. They were awesome. And now they have deteriorated to the point where they don't really work aside from just recognizing
that they're gloves. Time to replace them.
And so I go to the store and I'm looking for these same kind of gloves, you know, mechanic gloves. And the funny side story is that these gloves are now considered like operator gloves for like the military because they're that good.
Oh, nice.
Well, the big box stores don't sell them anymore, but
you need gloves,
but you go to Home Depot and lo and behold, Milwaukee copied those gloves. And so you buy the Milwaukee brand that are the mechanic gloves. They're exactly the same. They got the
operator's Velcro gloves, but they're red.
They're red and black. They're awesome because they're Milwaukee. So anyhow, I started flipping through this and I'm like, well, yeah, this is like a no brainer. And some of this stuff is like, why is this in here? And I just thought it would be kind of fun to quickly go through.
So let's go for a brief moment into the land of tools.
Yeah. So this last sentence here, I thought this was fun. There are several reasons, including lowered lifespan and damage quality, among others. It's not just limited to Milwaukee, but every reputable manufacturer, for instance, Ryobi, has some products that are not fit for secondhand purchases.
Oh, and that hurts because I'm in-house Ryobi.
Yeah.
But well, mostly because I'm not a serious tool guy. I'm sure longtime listeners would not be surprised by that.
All right. So the first thing on this list, because this is 10 things you're not supposed to buy used, is like batteries are a no-go. And I'm like,
don't buy a used battery.
Like, duh. I mean, the battery is usually the first thing to go. And you go to the pawn shop. I'm going to bring this up a lot. You go to the pawn shop and what's the thing that's always in the back shelf?
Yep.
Electric tools and batteries and stuff.
Exactly.
And they want an arm and a leg for them because, hey, we have tools. You want tools, you buy tools.
Yep.
And
when you need a tool, you need a tool.
Yeah. Well, and the batteries new are relatively expensive.
And they're always on sale too. So, I mean, the onus is to buy the batteries when they're on sale. Father's Day weekend, The best time to buy tools and batteries.
Oh, yeah. And when you stock up on them, like Milwaukee, for instance, the M18s, they fit in everything, like the lawnmower, the weed trimmer, the drills. I have a saw, that's a circular saw. Those batteries fit in. I bought a nail gun, electric nail gun. It uses that battery.
I get it, man. Everything. We got the misters and the planers and all kinds of weird Ryobi tools that I probably used once.
Yeah. Let's see. Secondhand sight lights may be doubtful is what it says. Somebody, this is written by an Indian. What the hell?
Do the doubtful.
This is also kind of like a no-brainer because they are LED panels.
Mm-hmm.
And I have LED lights in the garage right now, building two where we're at. And I can point at three of them where the LEDs have just gone.
Now, Dennis, I remember when high-efficiency LED lights came out and they were touting their incredible 10-year lifespans.
And they were awesome.
So awesome.
Well, and those were a different kind of light. They were a different type of LED. These are the same LEDs that are like on our motherboards and stuff.
Yeah, they're bright, but they.
They get overdriven is what
happens. Disposable.
Yeah, they get overdriven and they burn up. The same thing with these shop lights. These are cheap to begin with. And, you know, just go to the store and buy a new one. That's what you need.
Yeah, totally agree with that one.
And tools that use the Power Plus automotive chargers. This is like basically the first generation charger.
It plugs into your car. Like, why? I guess it's handy if you're out and about, but.
Well, and this is also for not necessarily the 18 volt batteries that they have now, but the original 12 volt batteries that have been obsoleted for the most part.
Well, I get that trying to drive a charger off of a car plug is probably not the best solution.
No.
Dangerous.
Yeah. Electric wrenches.
Oh, we were just talking about this while we were prepping.
Yeah. The idea here is that,
yeah, they got recalled.
Well, some of them got recalled. A lot of them, you don't know how much use they've had. And like, for instance, at the pawn shop, right? You can go and test it, but unless you're going to be drilling or screwing in something.
Yeah, putting some load on it.
You're never going to know if it's actually any good or not. And you don't know if it's been used and abused or if it's relatively new.
Yeah, I always feel like, why would you get rid of a good tool unless you had ridden it hard and put it away dirty?
Yeah. Well, again, you know, the pawn shop is ripe with stuff that have fallen off of the back of people's cars and stuff like
good,
that.
Good point. I mean, how many of us keep track of our serial numbers in case our tool disappears?
Yeah. And for those people, they're probably going to go buy a new one anyway and just have insurance pay for it.
Fair enough.
This one confused me a little bit. It's the any tool powered by the M18 high demand 9.0 battery. And I'm assuming that this is like the first generation M18s, you know, now it's the M18 fuel and the M18 red or whatever. So it's just an older battery technology.
Yeah. And you should always buy the newest one. There's a reason. They're more efficient. Mm-hmm. They're generally safer. mostly charge faster, generally have a longer life. Yep. But the thing that makes buying a used battery so sketchy is you don't know if they've been overdriven, underdriven, how many charge cycles they've had.
Yeah. Well, and last sentence here, it says failure can include short circuit, which in the extreme situation can result in smoking, fire, and even when not in use. So I'm assuming that the high demand batteries just were bad to begin with. But they're M18, which means you can buy the newer battery and use it in that tool.
Right. Backwards compatibility, beautiful.
Milwaukee's great for that. Most older M18 tools, probably for the same reason as the high demand 9 battery problem. And as we mentioned, old tools, you don't know how old they are.
Exactly. And if they've been replaced by something newer, there's usually a good reason.
Yes, exactly. Oh, this one's fun. Heated tough shell jackets may deteriorate over time. I'm like,
M12 heated jackets. I didn't know such a thing existed, but it sort of makes sense. I just feel like anybody out there that doesn't believe that something flexible that heats up isn't going to wear out over time probably shouldn't be buying Milwaukee at all.
Right. Now, of course, we've all had electric blankets over the years, and those, they plug into the wall and they keep you warm and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And they generally last for a very long time. They're not built the same way as jackets.
No, they're not flexing. They're not out in the weather. I hope anyway.
Yeah. The Laser Temp Gun M12 Cordless Lithium Ion Thermometer Kit.
That's an interesting one, but I think this one is based around the age as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a really old tool they haven't made for a very long time. So probably not a very safe purchase just because they haven't made it for so long.
Yeah, and it's... and I think their reasoning for this is that it's the 5-year warranty is already up. But it's like you buy a used tool, you don't get a warranty anyway, so...
Well, one of those where I feel like a used temp gun's not an expensive purchase.
No.
So if you're not going to be depending on this to make a living, it's probably okay. Just make sure it works before you leave.
Yeah. Well, and if you're using it to make a living, you write it off on your taxes anyway.
Yeah. Get a good one.
Let's see. The M18 Fuel 2-Piece Power Pack 2A2. This looks like it's that drill and impact kit.
Oh, one of the starter kits from back in the day.
I have one up there. That's where my drills come from. And the idea here is that they're always on sale and they're cheap. So why buy used?
Yeah, you can probably, if you're patient, get it for the same price new.
Yeah. And that ends the 10. I mean, they were also talking about things to consider when making used purchases, which, you know, we've already talked about. I'm pretty sure this is like one of those clickbait articles to get your attention, and it's kind of like a no-brainer.
Pretty much, but I feel like there probably will be some good parallels with PC parts. Let's find out.
Yeah. So if we flip over to the 3 PC parts you should always buy used.
Now, this is from Slash Gear, so you can check them out. We'll get the link to the original article down below for you guys in the notes.
Now, before we slide down.
Okay.
What components would you prefer to buy used if you were building a machine and you were looking for kind of some budget parts?
Okay. Where would I save money and not feel like there was a big risk?
Yeah.
Cases, maybe?
Cases, yeah. And especially for if you're looking for a particular style, it may not be available.
Peripherals feel like you're pretty safe.
I'd be iffy on peripherals.
Keyboard, mouse, headphones. Yeah. Not headphones, really. I don't want to put anybody else's headphones on my head. Usually I'm a little picky that way.
Well, and I would be like touching, you know, a mouse that somebody probably gooned on or something. That would be bad.
It's hard to get that stuff clearly. All right, you make a good point. I'm walking that one back. So I
think video card.
Well, I mean, a lot of folks will buy a secondhand video card. I feel like there's some risk there. They'll probably talk about that. Mm-hmm. Power supplies, if you have a power supply tester, maybe.
Yeah, although we've always recommended buying a good 80 plus gold or platinum power supply.
Yeah, I feel like a power supply usually has a date of manufacture on it, though. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of get an idea of how old it is, which is helpful. So I don't know. Now that I think about it,
not much, huh?
Not really much at all.
All right.
I mean, I guess if you had a trusted buddy who is, you know, upgrading, then buying their used parts is a pretty safe bet. But on the open market?
Yeah. Well, you know, back in the day when upgrading was the thing to do, we used to swap parts all the time.
True. And to be fair, as Hardware Asylum, we've purchased quite a bit of used products just because we're chasing unicorns. Mm-hmm. We're looking for out of print hardware.
Yep. Well, and all of my retro stuff is used.
And yeah, of course the retro stuff, but there is some risk. I mean, how often do you get something that requires repair?
Quite often, actually.
Fair enough. All right, let's check it out. See what they have to say.
All right. So the first thing on here is buy used air coolers.
Ooh, now I think this is probably the overlooked thing I should have come up with initially. Mm-hmm. Because especially if you're using a good air cooler, there's not much that can go wrong. If the fans work,
yeah,
the heat pipes, they're going to work.
Yeah, they don't leak.
I mean, you could look for some warping on the plate to make sure you're going to get good contact, but if you're buying a name brand product, and here they use the Noctua as an example.
Yep.
It's, oh man, it's going to take some real work to ruin it. I mean, maybe you could damage the fins, but that's going to be all really visible.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is that if somebody's selling an air cooler, it's because they upgraded probably to an all-in-one or something like that. And it's going to be cheap. I mean, they might have paid $50 for the air cooler, but they know that not many people are going to buy this thing. So they're going to sell it. And you probably get it for like 10 bucks.
Absolutely. And they've got a great recommend here, the Noctua NHD 15G2, which is a phenomenal tower, very expensive new. Mm-hmm. Finding that used would, yeah, that'd probably be worth the risk. But if you're looking at like a Hyper 212,
they're going to be all over the place.
Yeah, you can find one of those new on sale. So be careful and do some Googling.
Yeah. Let's see. Next, buy used PC cases, like you had mentioned.
Yeah, and this is what I said. I feel like people that are building high-end systems tend to want to upgrade their systems fairly regularly. And the easy facelift is, no matter what you're changing in your build, to put it in a new case.
Yeah, exactly. Their second paragraph here, it says, still there are some caveats. Caveats, yeah, there you go. See, I can't even pronounce this stuff. The biggest risks of a used case come from the front I/O, which includes power button and the USB ports. Motherboards usually have plenty of USB ports without the case's help. And some may even include a power button that doesn't need to be hooked up to anything. That's the stuff that's inside the computer.
Right.
But the buttons and the USB ports on the case could have been damaged, full of slime, or even don't work.
Well, and those are things that can be damaged fairly easily if someone doesn't do a great job during their installation process.
Yeah, or they've ripped the cable out.
I feel like you can test the power button. If it makes an audible click, you're probably pretty safe. If it sticks, I would walk away.
Yeah. And, you know, if you are a handy person, you can go and replace that stuff if it's a case that you really want. I did a video for one of the retro machines I was putting together where the power button, I didn't know what kind of power button it needed. So I found a replacement switch. I think I got it from like DigiKey or something like that. And then 3D printed a bracket to mount it to the panel so that I could actually turn stuff on and off.
Well, and if you're not that handy, you just get an aftermarket switch like one of those fighter jet ones where flip it up and stuff. And you got a cool mod for not a lot of money.
Exactly. All right. The last one is buy used RAM. Now, this is a bit of a surprise.
Kind of on the fence about that one.
Well, it's not. It's a pretty low risk, to be honest, because DRAM, aside from somebody blowing it up, it's not going to wear out. It doesn't have any moving parts. And like I said, unless somebody physically damages it or burns it up, it generally doesn't go bad.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like if I'm going to buy used RAM, I want to see a machine boot with the RAM in it.
Well, yes, there is that.
Before I buy it, because you can't, I mean, it's a static object. Until you plug it in, you don't know if it works or doesn't. It's one of those things where you can buy it and they say it works and you go home and it doesn't. And they say, oh, well, it worked when it left the house.
Yeah. Well, and case in point, I brokered a sale through you of some memory. Some kid wanted some memory. He was putting a computer together. And
right.
It's like, I had some Corsair, high quality stuff. And it's like, well, here, this will work. And so you took it from me, you gave it to him, and he had nothing but problems with it.
Oh, that's right, I remember.
And he ended up, because he thought he was being smart, he's like, hey, I figured out which module was bad, and I put a little wire on it so you know which one it is. And it's like, we ended up giving his money back, whatever. I took the memory, put it back in my machine, worked perfectly, did mem tests. Both sticks were perfect. What I later found out was that the processor that this kid was using, it was an AMD, but it was an older one that didn't support the memory density of those sticks. And what happened was that it was recognizing the first half and not the second half. And that's why it was not recognizing the entire kit. And I'm like,
it just wasn't educated.
Yeah. And it, well, that would be an issue here if you're going to buy used RAM, because it may not be the density that you need and there's no real documentation that you can refer back
to. Yeah, you need to make sure you're compatible. My only story like that is I've sold RAM to a guy, had the same situation. He said the RAM doesn't boot. Brought it back to me, stuck it in the machine, it worked fine. Mm-hmm. Turned out that he didn't know how to put it in the right slots.
Oh, yeah.
Again, an education moment. Mm-hmm. Not calling out any names out there, buddy, but if you're listening.
Shame on you. All right, so now those are the three things that you could buy used. And I would agree with those. I mean, even with the RAM, it's like, well, you could buy used RAM, but it's always going to be old. It's always going to be relatively slow. You buy it in a pinch, especially if you are putting together like a DDR3 machine.
Right.
So you're not going to be able to buy that stuff new. And buying used is like buying a video card. It's like, if it still works, it's going to work for a long time after that.
This is another moment, like we talked about in the main show, where you want to stick with a brand you recognize, a reputable brand, and, you know, just eyeball the condition.
Buying new liquid coolers.
Ooh, now this is an interesting one because we just had the opposite of that with the air cooler, right?
Right.
People upgrade all the time to all-in-one liquid cooling setups. Very rarely does somebody move from a liquid cooling setup to a different liquid cooling setup. And I mean, it happens if they're getting a larger or they need new blocks for their new processor and motherboard, for example, but it's not real common. But what are the dangers?
The whole reason that you would want to buy new is because a liquid cooler is basically one big moving part. So you have a fluid that's acting as the heat vehicle moving from the cold plate to the radiator. You have a pump that it needs to move that fluid, and you don't know how many hours are on that pump. So it can wear out to the point where it doesn't work. The power could have like shorted out and it screwed something up. The radiator, generally it's a static part, but the fans running air through it can be, you know, old, clogged up. They're easy to replace, like on an air cooler. But if the radiator happens to be damaged, like somebody went and put the screw in the wrong spot and basically ran it through, then, you know, that will damage the pipes going through there and it could cause a leak. Again, also with leaks, you could get a used AIO that doesn't have any fluid in it.
Oh, gosh. Can you imagine? And you'd never even know it. Or if it's been repaired badly. Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is, it's like, they're good enough and they're relatively inexpensive. You're going to go AIO. You might as well find one you like and then just pay the money and get it.
And the new ones are so cool. I mean, we've got LED screens. We got, you know, serialized fans that don't require all the extra plugs. I mean, there's some really cool technology out there if you don't mind stretching a few bucks.
Exactly. Next. Oh, we talked about this in a previous episode. I don't remember which one, but buy new storage devices. Now, I believe this is primarily for SSDs because, as we have mentioned several times, NAND flash, it has a lifespan. It will have supposedly unlimited reads, but if you write to it too many times, it will kill those NAND cells and they won't be able to write to them anymore.
Right.
And that is where it's like, if you buy a used SSD, you don't know how much time is on it until you get it and then run the Crystal Info on it or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, that's just one of the many great tools that'll help you test read write speeds and volatility. This is getting to the point where, I mean, 1 terabytes and 2 terabytes, the prices are coming down so quickly that I feel like this is another area where you're just safer to get a new set and watch for a sale if you're concerned with price.
Yeah. Now, I will say that every drive that is running hardwareasylum.com, the server that I hosted, those are all used. But they're also enterprise-grade SAS drives from HP. So they're small. They've been designed to run almost forever. And knock on wood, I have yet to have one of those things die on me.
So, well, and I mean, drives last really a long time anyway. We all have heard stories about them failing. Mm-hmm. Another good reason to buy a NAS drive or an external storage device.
Yep.
No storage is infallible.
No, and it's not. Okay, next. Buy new motherboards. Now, I'm a bit conflicted.
Because this is something you're challenged by because you buy a lot of used motherboards.
Yeah, well, those are retro boards for the most part. And
Unicorns.
And the unicorns, yeah. The speaking of retro PCs, two out of the, three boards that I bought, I needed to do repair on. Either because of like acid damage that ate some of the copper traces, so I needed to replace those traces. One of the, it was technically a brand new motherboard. It was a Pentium Pro board. I was using it, getting it all set up to go and put into a build, and one of the tantalum capacitors blew up. And it basically turned off the power supply. It was a modern power supply. It had been an older one. This has been way more of a problem.
Oh yeah.
But it went into an OCP, basically shut down, and it's because one of those caps shorted out. So I had to figure out which one it was and replace it. Now, with a modern motherboard, like the one we talked about in the main show this month, there is a lot of stuff on those boards. I mean, there's a lot of components. They pack a lot of stuff onto these boards, and any one of those small components can fail. And if one of those fails, then it could render the board to the point where it won't boot, or it will make it so a certain section of the board won't work at all. And it's just, they're so complex that you don't know if like the socket is damaged.
Right.
You know, because they have pins in the socket now. You don't know if like one of those capacitors is dead, or like one of the LED lights could actually have burned out. In a lot of cases, it doesn't matter.
Well, and you mentioned older boards also. Capacitors especially have a fixed life. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be careful. I mean, more modern boards, the capacitors and the components have gotten a lot better. Their life is longer, but none of them are going to last forever.
No, they're not. And, you know, everything eventually wears out when it's an electronic component, either because it has become outdated or something just fails. In the term of my retro stuff, it's like, well, you know, it's a roll of the dice on whether or not it's going to work, but it's a bit of a unicorn to buy and the challenge of getting it fixed. Modern stuff is a little bit more difficult.
Now, this next one we've talked about a little bit. I waffled on buying peripherals new.
Yeah. And I would, you know, kind of like your comment about, I don't want to have somebody else's headphones on my head.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of like wearing somebody else's hat.
Well, yeah, you're going to get food, skin cells, all kinds of weird stuff, and keyboards and mice.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of get it. You know, if something's had some significant use, I would definitely avoid it.
Yeah.
But the life of especially modern mechanical keyboards and mechanical switches on mice means they do have a nice long life.
Yeah, they do. The one thing that keeps coming to mind is that there is a mechanical keyboard and mouse that I have in a case that I bring to every LAN party that we go to.
Oh, yeah?
And it's my special LAN party kit.
I got one of those, too.
And this last LAN that we went to, I pulled the keyboard out, and I noticed that the keys were visibly dirty. And I'm like, I didn't think I was that messy of a person.
Right.
But it, we're going to call it human slime, is just basically me touching it. It's going to...
Some of those LAN parties get a little hot and sweaty.
Well, there's that. And it's just that when some of that stuff degrades, it makes everything nasty. And it's like, well, I really should have cleaned it with, you know, some Windex or something like that before I put it away. But, you know, after the LAN party, it's like, hey, we're done.
Yeah, it's packed away. It's packed away.
And that is what you're going to run into if you buy used peripherals.
Yeah, I think you've won me over to that one.
Yeah. Oh, here's the other one. Power supplies, they suggest you buy those new. I would agree, mostly because you want to have the latest and greatest in terms of power efficiency.
Oh, yeah.
And you also get the bigger, better plugs.
Well, and one other thing that we forget is you buy a modular especially, and you never know what cables you're going to get.
Oh, yeah. You may not get the cable you need.
Yeah, and I can tell you from experience that tracking down cables that are missing from a power supply is a lot harder than you think it is.
Yeah, you're basically buying a somebody. No, you're not buying. You're paying for somebody to go and build you a custom set so that you can get the cables that you need.
Yeah, and at that point, you paid almost as much as if you'd have bought a good power supply new.
Yeah. Now, this other one, I'm a little, I'm waffling on this one. It says buy new CPUs. And I can see why. One is that motherboards and CPUs are pretty much paired.
Yeah.
And they have been for the past like 15 years. So it's like, if you buy this particular board, you have the sockets change, so you have to buy this generation of CPU. So if you're not going to buy a used motherboard, there's no reason to buy a used CPU.
Right.
Now, the overclocker in me knows that we would tend to buy like 10 CPUs, right? Because we're binning them all.
Oh, yeah. I remember those days.
And you basically keep the two best ones, and then the rest either get supposedly returned to Newegg, if you could get away with that, or drop them out onto eBay and hope somebody buys them.
Yeah. You pay a small price for binning.
Yeah.
But the other thing, too, is, and I don't know if this is still true, but for years, the most counterfeited computer parts on the market were CPUs, because you would get a CPU and they have purchased a lesser CPU and they've polished it off and re-screen printed the different model number on it. Mm-hmm. And you get a slightly cheaper, smaller model, and you think you bought the premium one. And if you're not technical enough, you might not ever notice.
Correct. Modern CPUs is really difficult to do that counterfeiting unless they can laser inside the chip and whatnot. But yeah, that used to be a huge problem, which was why Intel started to lock the CPUs, because they were being counterfeited. In this case, it's like, you can buy a used CPU. I've bought several of them off of eBay, and mostly for overclocking. You know, like I wanted to run, I think it was like a 7 or an 8 gigahertz run, one of those two. And it was one of those, I had to have a special AMD chip on a special motherboard, which I have several of those. And it was a run a full pot of LN2 and just basically inch it up megahertz by megahertz until you get to the bottom, or you get to the top when it, you know, stops working. And I was able to do that 3 times before the processor decided, nah, I'm done. And then basically it became a paperweight.
Yeah. And again, that's the price of enthusiasts.
Yeah.
Overclocking has its cost.
All right. And I was saying also to buy new graphics cards. And this is one that I don't necessarily agree with. However, there is the caveat of the mining returns.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of a bigger issue back in the 10 and 20 series. Not so much now, because, you know, mining with GPUs is not viable anymore. But there was a time when buying a used graphics card would be a coin flip on whether or not it had been heavily abused or if it was just sitting in a box.
I feel like for me, this is one of those where you need the story. There are a lot of folks that buy a new video card when a new generation comes out. Mm-hmm. And if they have purchased a new video card, you can get the previous year model from the folks that are aggressively upgrading with less than a year's use on it, hardcore gamers usually. So the story matters to me on this one.
I've bought several Kingpin Edition cards, and I've known the story of those cards. Like, one of them was actually he bought it new. He had problems with it. He sent it into EVGA. They sent him a replacement. And by that time, he had already put a new graphics card in, so he didn't need it. So I was like, yeah, I'll buy it from you. I bought another Kingpin card, and the thing showed up in the original box.
Oh, how lucky is that?
And when you look at it, you know, because you can tell from the expansion card, you know, when you put the screw in there, it's always going to damage that little piece of metal. And you could tell there was just one scrape on it. So it was basically either installed once.
Nice.
Or, it was installed once. It's either installed once and put back in the box, or installed once and just used for a little while. But it showed up. It was in great shape. Came in the original box with all the stuff. And I'm like, perfect.
Yeah. This, I think, used to be more risky back in the day. But again, modern hardware is a lot safer. It's much harder to hurt with static electricity and those kinds of things that used to be really scary back in the day. So if you're comfortable with the person that you're buying it from, look at their build. If their machine is clean and modern, you're probably pretty safe. Yeah. So yeah, I do see some parallels, I think, between PCs and power tools.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that weird?
I don't know that I agree so much with the PC parts, but I think, as always, buyer beware.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS or subscribe to us on YouTube. This has been an Engineering Production, copyright 2025. Thanks for listening.